Welcome to Spiritually Naked, where physical and non-physical worlds collide, offering a refreshing concoction of optimism and realism. It's time to strip down the barriers of limiting beliefs, to master the art of manifestation and synchronized living. Everything you need to live an inspired, awakened life is within your grasp. Start creating the life you desire today with Spiritually Naked as your guide to simplifying complicated issues for real life change. Now here are your hosts, Steve and Stephanie Banks.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here today on Spiritually Naked. I'm your host, Stephen Banks, and I'm here with my partner and co-host, Stephanie Banks, who in the second portion of our program will channel for us a collective consciousness named Solomon. But first we are excited to introduce Frank Chodal. He was an internationally recognized psychic medium who identifies himself as a healer and a teacher. He is the author of Connections, A Journey to Understanding. Since he first became aware of his abilities when he was only 8 years old, Frank has been delivering profoundly accurate and meaningful messages for people around the world. Now he shares his experiences and insights with you so that you may gain a better understanding of your own path, which is the idea behind Spiritually Naked. So welcome to the program, Frank. Thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for inviting me. I'm just thrilled to be here.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. It's always exciting for me to have other mediums on so that I can, because everyone experiences things differently, especially in terms of the gifts that we attune into, like you had mentioned earlier. How do you experience the messages that come to you?
It's been a progression throughout my life. My first experience, as I said, when I was 8 years old, I actually saw my guide, who I've come to know as Marie, and she appeared to me and my sister while we were playing one day in my room, and all of a sudden the room got dark, and this woman appears and moves across the room from left to right and then disappears. I thought I was imagining things till my sister said, "Wow, did you see that?" Which made me realize, yes, this is real. Fortunately, I had a very supportive family, a lot of interconnection, a lot of telepathy within my family. So it wasn't seen as unusual or make-believe as much as de rigueur of, this is what our family does, so, you know, go with it. And over the years, Marie has connected for me whenever there's a need, whenever there was somebody who was experiencing a trauma in their life, a separation, a feeling of loss, she would come to me and make that connection for me with whoever they needed to hear from. Over time, over the years, I've come to learn that Marie is actually not one entity, not one being. She is a representation of a group of entities, if you will, spirits, guides, angels, archangels, whatever you want to call them, guardian angels. There are 15 in my group, if you will, that she represents. Each of those 15 have their 15, and each of those 15 have 15, and so on and so on and so on in this extremely huge, universally huge network of beings and knowledge and everything. So I've come to learn that it's the focus of Marie, the focus of my guide, is to connect me with that field, that Akashic field of all knowledge, of all time and all space, so that I can then bring to the table for my client, for the person who needs the read, I can bring that information through to them and access that. That's the teacher side of me. I don't have to know all the answers. I just have to know where to find them. And Marie's my connection to finding those answers. So that... that's the short answer. Okay.
Well, no, I think that's a really great way of explaining it. And personally, as a fellow medium, I can relate to that completely. And then there's that every now and then there's that aspect that idea that comes up in conversation when I'm either doing a workshop or an event or just talking in general to acquaintances. And the question that comes up is there a part of you that believes that you're actually just tapping into your higher self that has access to that information, and rather than going through, in my case, Solomon and the group, in your case, Marie and the group, I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that.
Absolutely. It's within me and without and throughout. We're individuals and we are a collective at the same time. It's the whole concept. One of my dear loves is quantum physics, quantum mechanics. Max Planck, I think, was brilliant beyond brilliant. The only person to make Einstein cry when he read his theories. But the idea that there is no here and now or there is no now or then. It's only here and now. Everything is where we are. Everything is where we're at. What I know within me, what I'm consciously aware of, is only a fraction, a small, minuscule fraction of what I actually have contact with and connection to and the ability to pick up. I ask people, I say, how many times have you had a problem come up in your life or a situation, an opportunity to solve something or create something, and you don't know where it came from, but wow, you got the answer. I know how to fix this. I know how to do that. Where did that come from? Is it from, regressed memories? Is it from, something that we may have heard and forgotten completely about, or, something that's there? Or are we actually tapping into that Akashic field of all knowledge and all space and time and pulling out the answers that we need at that time? And when I'm doing readings for clients, it's, the things that come through that are so specifically accurate, and spot on, that there's no way I could possibly have known this. It couldn't possibly come from my memory. I did a read for a young lady from Bethlehem, Israel. And it was a read from her cousin who had been killed in a battle in the Golan Heights. And during the read, now I have never been to Israel. I do not speak Hebrew. I know some Yiddish from growing up in New York, but that's about as close as I get. During the reading, I was reciting the prayer of a kibbutz in fluent Hebrew.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and she knew the prayer because it was her cousin's prayer. She'd heard it, many times, but only people who are raised in a kibbutz are allowed to recite the prayer of the kibbutz. Here again, she being from Israel, she of course spoke Hebrew and spoke Jewish. I guess Hebrew is right. And so she knew this prayer, and I was reciting it verbatim in fluent Hebrew. And it's things like that that there's no possible way I could have known that.
No, exactly. Yeah, and it's so good to have those to have those affirmations as a healer, as a medium, because I don't know, maybe you've been doing this a lot longer than I have, but for myself, I still require to a certain degree those affirmations and those reassurances. And I think when we're trying to help others connect to their own guides and their own intuitive notions and connecting to the non-physical realm and helping people do that, I think it's really imperative to have those moments that you're like, yeah, you know what? This is something greater than myself.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And this is why I caution my clients before a reading. I tell them, don't give me any information. I don't want to know who, what, when, where, why, or how. Let them bring that through and tell you, because that is their confirmation, their affirmation that, yes, it is legitimate. This is them coming through, not me just reciting back to you. I'm not doing a cold read. I'm not asking questions before the reading. It's, here is the information that's coming through. It's pure, it's clear, it's clean. And Yeah, so like as I said, I don't want to know ahead of time. Had a reading for a client over Skype, actually, and at the end of the reading, I could clearly see a butcher block counter in the middle of the kitchen, and on the counter is a bunch of carrots tied up with the greens, tied together in this bunch. And they kept saying, tell her not to forget the carrots. Don't forget the carrots. And so I said, okay, fine, whatever. You know, I'm learning. I'm still working with it. Don't question the guides. when they tell you something, just say it. Don't try to analyze or question. So I told her, they're saying, don't forget the carrots. Here's what I'm seeing. She said, I don't like carrots. I don't eat carrots. I don't have any idea what that's about. 2 weeks later, we get a phone call. She was cleaning out her refrigerator. In the bottom crisper drawer was a bunch of carrots she bought for juicing that she'd completely forgotten about. That was their confirmation. That was their way of saying, yes, it's us. We're there. We see you. We see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that your connection has gotten clearer over the years as you've been practicing, as you've been utilizing and sharing what you're doing?
I don't know that the messages or the images coming through are any clearer, because they've always been very, very clear, very solid, clear, for me. But my understanding of them has gotten clearer.
Right.
And my appreciation, and this is I'm no longer second guessing what's coming through. If I see something, I just, as much of a non sequitur as it might be, as totally off the wall and disassociated with whatever else I was saying, I know I've got to relate it, because it means something to them, even though it means absolutely nothing to me. Let it come through. And I preface my reads with, whatever happens, right, wrong, indifferent, if it doesn't make any sense right now, let it, I record my sessions. I give my my clients a copy of every session that they attend, so that they can go back and look it over the weeks and months afterwards, and what was in there that was a message for you for something coming up. Young lady who had a reading, and at the end of the reading, I saw this glass sphere about the size of a grapefruit. And I said, it's clear. It's not frosted. It's not painted. It's a clear glass ball, kind of like a snow globe, I said. And she said, okay, fine. I don't know what that means, but, whatever. Again, about a month later, she was talking to my wife and said, oh, by the way, we were cleaning out grandma's house and opened a closet, and it was filled with snow globes that nobody knew about. So at the time, totally, off the wall, doesn't mean a thing. But later on, boom, there it is.
Yeah, and that is how we tend to receive these things, for sure, these messages. So your book, I'd just like to speak about that for a minute. Connections, A Journey to Understanding. When you say that you're a teacher, is the idea to teach people how to connect for themselves and to recognize and do this work within themselves?
I think it's more of a way to give people, as I said, a journey of understanding. It's a way for them to be able to identify within themselves what's happening. How do you explain to somebody who's never experienced something what you're going through in terms that they can understand? It's a teaching manual, really. It is. Yes, I do give some, pointers and warnings and cautions, what have you, if you will, for people who do want to go public with their readings, with their abilities. But it's more of, to understand what's going on inside of you and what are you experiencing, how are you experiencing it. It does make sense. It's not something that, requires, you to be committed in an institution. This isn't an illness. It's an ability. And actually, the book started out with simply as a chronological memoir, if you will, of my experiences. I've been doing this for over 50 years. And so here are some of my high points, things that I've documented, you know, that I've experienced and my understanding of what I experienced. About a year ago, I've had people come to me and say, you know, would you teach a class? Would you give a seminar? We want more information. Can you tell us how to handle these things? And so I put together, as a teacher, I put together a class, a course outline for a weekend seminar on mediumship and psychic phenomena. And then I looked at the book and I said, wait a minute, the book is wrong. It's not supposed to be a chronological pat myself on the back memoir. It's supposed to be a teaching tool. That's what I'm about. So I took the whole book apart, completely started from scratch with my notes, and restructured it according to the class that I wrote, according to the course outline. And that became The Journey to Understanding. I sent it off to my editor in Mississippi and asked her if she would, you know, if she could work a chapter a week would be great. It would keep us right on schedule for publication. And 2.5 weeks later, she called back and said she was done completely with the edits. She couldn't put it down. That's what I wanted to hear. That's the way I wanted it to flow. And so out it came in March. It's all about teaching and healing and bringing, you know, sense and reason to something that is totally illogical.
it appears illogical anyways.
Well, I think we've been trained to think that it is, and like you mentioned earlier, that it's an innate ability that we all have. We just seem to be, for many of us anyways, farther removed from that aspect of who we are than we would like to be, which is why I think that many people have that feeling of something's missing. And I think it's that feeling of misalignment, that feeling of misconnection, and finding the ability to tap into it.
Mm-hmm. And the fact, Frank, that you've been doing this for so long, so, you know, 5 decades, for example, you must be acutely aware of the difference between, say, 30 years ago, when you had already been 20 years into it, so you were developed, to now, in terms of the collective accepting what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. When I decided to go public with it, though, and actually market myself as a medium, if you will, the clarity just came, started to come through so much faster, so much more intense. And the more I realized.
It's true.
And if that makes sense, it was exponential.
Do you have, Frank?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask you, I don't know what made me think of this, but did you grow up in a family that was religious at all? Like, are there any, did you have any conflicting notions about religion versus spirituality or the combination?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was raised in a very devout Polish Roman Catholic family.
Ooh.
I get a kick out of telling people that a Polish Roman Catholic, when it comes to guilt and penance and what have you, we go to confession and confess things we haven't done yet, just in case. In fact, when I was in grade school, I went to a Polish Catholic school, and became an altar boy. This is before Vatican II, so the masses were still in Latin. So here I am in third grade, and I'm learning Polish, reading, writing, and grammar alongside of English from kindergarten up. And now in third grade, I'm learning Latin in order to be an altar boy, and also being totally schooled and versed, of course, in the Bible and the teachings and the scriptures. So that I could be prepared for seminary. And I was about 12, 13, 14, right in that ballpark, and had this divine revelation. I went to the pastor and I said, Father, run that celibacy clause by me one more time. Yeah, there are these things called girls, and you know, that's kind of, I think they're kind of cool. And seriously, I started asking a lot of questions, though, that I would get back the pat answer of, Isn't that the wonderful thing about religion, that the more questions you ask, the more questions you have? And yeah. I'm like, that wasn't an answer. Are you running for office or what? I wanted answers, so I started to research. I started to look at all different types of religions and beliefs and faiths. Even at that young age, I was questioning. I was looking for, what's the difference between Catholics and Protestants and Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus and, Native Americans. And the more I studied and researched, the more I found that it's not the differences, it's the similarities. And they are incredible. The what holds us together as human beings is our need for societal anchor, a norm, a base. And religion is a way to anchor that society and give meaning to things that are totally, beyond our comprehension. I say, 2,000 years ago, when this person named Jesus Christ was talking about, the God and the levels and the hierarchy and the learning and all these spiritual, ethereal, ideas and concepts. He's talking to fishermen and farmers and shepherds and people who have no conceptual basis for their understanding. And he's trying to explain, something, so he had to put it in terms that they could understand, personify this image of God as, the elderly man sitting on the throne with a big white beard and the book marking down every time you're good or bad. And we use these personifications and these symbols to try to bring understanding to the totally incomprehensible. From my strict religious background, I developed my understanding and my appreciation and my respect for all faiths and beliefs and religions, because ultimately we're all saying the same thing. We're just this Tower of Babel. We're saying it in all different ways, and your way is no better than my way. It brings you to your understanding. This brings me to my understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. If everyone could allow each other to explore their own perspective and perceptions of these things, it would be joyous for everybody. That's for sure. Because we would all gain that direction. Yeah, it would. But Frank, we're out of time for this portion of the program. Do you want to let our audience know where to find you in terms of your online presence?
Well, I have my website is www.connectionswithfrankschodel.com or simply www.frankschodel.com. And that's Frank, Chodel, Schodel. I have information there. I have contact information. They can email me directly from the website. Just Google me. I'm all over the place.
Yeah, you're pretty easy to find.
We were easy to find. That's true. Yeah. Okay, everyone out there, thank you for joining us for this portion of the program, and stay tuned, and we'll be back with Solomon and Frank.
It is our pleasure to be here with you in this time, in your space, in your current reality that you call the here and now. We are welcoming you in this experience to share with us the questions and queries that you have in regards to your life as this individual that you are experiencing now as a human being in this time and your space and your reality. It is our pleasure to be here with you to bring to you the guidance that you are seeking and requesting. This is a mutual agreement amongst us that we come to you and be present in your experience for the period of time that we are sharing with you today. We are with you always, but upon your request from an energetic level, we come to you in a greater capacity to move you in the ways that you are looking to be moved. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Solomon.
We would like to take this opportunity to exchange with our friend here today, Frank, who comes to you from a mediumship level that we are encouraging in all of you as you begin to transition into a, let's say, more modern state of awareness. As the spiritual evolution of the human consciousness takes place, many of you will begin to acknowledge and accept and be receptive to your own individual aspects of this creation. We would like to, first off, give you, Frank, our sincere appreciation for the work that you have done to bring this awareness to others.
Thank you. Thank you. It's an honor, it's a privilege, and a responsibility that I don't take lightly.
And nor should you. We do, however, acknowledge that at this time in your life, in this time in your career, in this time as a human being, you are well beyond the idea of concern. You are well beyond the idea of doubt. You are well beyond the idea of fear-based beliefs that would hold you back in any capacity to move forward in your understanding of your own personal connections and the connections of the collective. This is a milestone in one's experience as a soulful human being. We come to you with gratitude. We come to you with appreciation. We come to you with a handshake deal that we have been collaborating with you from a level of deeper meaning and deeper understanding that you have portrayed to the world around you in such a way that you have made a remarkable impact on society as a whole, on the universe as a whole.
Well, you've answered my question before I've asked it. I'm already in the process of writing my next two books, following up from Journey to Understanding to The Gathering and The Letting Go. A huge, huge event that is building, that's growing, that's going to be worldwide and monumental. And I feel very strongly, Marie and the circle that she represents that connect with the universe, have said to me, have told me, have put, directed me toward this gathering of psychics and healers of all modalities and, mediums and all to come together for a huge healing and rebirth of the entire world. And it's all happening now so fast that it's almost frightening from the human aspect, the human side of me saying, wait a minute, this is all happening way too fast. Am I ready for this? I begin to understand what Jesus went through when he said, you know, I'm not ready for this. Take the cup away from me. And then finally the acceptance of thy will be done. I know that this is what the universe, this is what I chose. This is what I, have accepted as this lifetime, where, you know, what I've come to do. And it's you know, becoming aware of that it's frightening.
Human beings have a tendency to procrastinate, to put off the inevitable, to find excuses to not do. We are here to, let's say, slightly push to a certain degree the collectiveness of the world, of Earth, into a more focused direction of self-awareness, of collective awareness, of refining perceptions and experiences to such a degree that life as a whole begins to take on an entirely new and different meaning. Because of the history of the world, of the human beings, this shift and change can be one that is looked at as being fearful, as being perhaps moving along a little bit too quickly based on the idea of being a human being, of perhaps finding the necessity to change one's perceptions on life, to change one's habitual patterns, to create new ones. This can be scary and challenging for many. As a soulful being, as a eternal being, this conflict does not exist. But as people begin to tap into and become more aligned with their eternal aspect of who they are as a creative potential being, there will be an internal conflict between the human aspect of oneself and the eternal aspect of oneself. The idea is to find a refined balance, a newfound understanding of these aspects, these different degrees of, let's say, personality that are all-encompassing of who you are. We are here to encourage all of you to become more acquainted with these aspects of who you are, to become more aware of how these aspects of you interact with the world around you and interact with the inside workings of who you are. Does this make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. As I said, you know, that was the purpose of the last book, was to let people, to tell people that this is within you. This is your right, your ability, this is the spirit, the soul that's inside of you. And it's, you know, it's okay to identify, to accept it, to recognize it, to let it out, if you will, and not be so intimidated by societal norms that, I was terrified when I first came out, if you will, as a medium, being in North Carolina, the Bible Belt. I was going to be, run out of town, tarred and feathered on a rail, as some kind of a heretic. But lo and behold, when I made myself known, there was an immediate embrace, and people started coming to me saying, teach me too. And so I realized I have a lot to learn in order to teach some more. One of the great things about being a teacher is that we know we have more to learn. And this is what, right now I am just striving to learn more, to be able to share more. And I want to know so much more.
And this is a fundamental aspect of being a human being, the need for knowledge, the inquisitive nature, the want and the urge to understand the workings, the mechanics of not only life, but all of the material objects that you encounter on a regular basis. There is the understanding that the human brain works upon this fundamental mechanism, that understanding is the precursor to the knowing. Does this make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Beyond that, even beyond the teaching side, the teacher side of me wants this information in order to share it, in order to spread the word, to spread that knowledge, not just for my own growth and personal gain, but I get more gain out of seeing my students gain and seeing their understanding and seeing their growth and starting on their own path. That for me is exciting.
This is the community quality of being a human being. This is true for all of you that are living in existence together, to be able to come together to share your understandings, to then be able to share your heart-based reactions and responses to these understandings, to be able to collaborate with one another for the betterment of the society as a whole. Many of you are feeling the absence of this community interaction. And this is based upon the absence of the willingness to share your ideas, your perspectives, your beliefs, your understandings, your knowings on who you are and who you are as a community, based on the idea of doubt and fear for the reactions that may come across your path when you do indeed come out of your spiritual closet, let's say, and act from a more authentic aspect of who you are. We are here to remind you, as are you, that when one makes the decision to take the leap, knowing that they are able to fly and to be able to come out of the shell, the hiding place of who they really are, you will only be met with more greatness. You will only be met with the same, let's say, qualities that are representative of how you are feeling. You will be met with this from an external representation of who you have become internally.
Exactly. What we project is what we accept, what we collect. And the whole the abundance and accepting and being able to say yes, I am open to, and I can let myself out there, because the more I go out, the more they'll come back.
And this does not necessarily mean that one will not be met with some criticism, some harshness, some ridicule from time to time. But when these occurrences happen, when you experience this kind of reaction or response from those around you, it is an indication that on some level there is still an degree of conflict within, based upon your human self interacting with your eternal self.
That makes complete total sense. And as I said, that the Abraham Hicks law of abundance and of attraction, the law of attraction, what we put out is what we attract. And I have found the fear of rejection, the fear of being ostracized, was very quickly overcome and replaced with the joy of acceptance and the joy of finding like and members and community in order to expand even further. Again, that the human side of me needed some reassurance and some protection in the mass of people of like thinking.
The human side needs to experience the idea of joy, of passion, of inspiration. And to experience these ideas, these qualities, one needs to be in tune with their heart-based emotions, in tune with the feeling that is being received from the experience of, let's put this a different way. When one attempts to talk themselves into doing something for the betterment of either themselves or others, but it is not congruent with the feeling from within, the heart-based emotion, there will be conflict that is then portrayed to the outside world as a representation of what is going on in the inside world. And hence, there will be some ridicule, some criticism, there will be some conflict. What we are proposing is that as a human being, you find the things that bring you happiness, you find the things that bring you joy, you find the things that bring you passion, and you act on those. When you act on those from the feeling state, as opposed to the brain telling you that you would be better off to go in this direction because it is a more, let's say, safer route to take, there will be resistance. As opposed to the idea of acting upon your passions, acting upon your happinesses, acting upon that which brings you joy, there will be an abundance of joy as opposed to an abundance of resistance. This is the place that you have come to. This is the place that you have come to years and years and years ago. This is the place of comfort for you. This is the place that you are in tune with your higher aspect, in tune with your eternal, abundant, creative being that you are. And from this place, you are then able to portray to the world around you these aspects, these qualities that are inherent to all human beings.
Yeah, absolutely. That is what I have been feeling, and that is what I've been experiencing, and what I'm learning to accept also. As I mentioned earlier, you know, learning to not second guess when Marie and my guides come and say, here is something you need to know. Here's something you need to express, to relate to work toward. And knowing that they are bringing it to me for not only my greater good, but the greater good of all, is, you know, and accepting that and not trying to second guess and not being afraid of embracing what I know is going to be the best for me and all involved.
It is always for the greater good of all. Always. No matter how specific a message can be for an individual, it is for the greater good of all. For within that message, should strides be taken to become more in tune with your authentic being as a result of the message itself, that individual is then portraying to the world that quality, that fundamental aspect that is life-changing, not only for themselves, but for others. Marie would like to interject here very quickly and recommend that you begin to eat more oranges. We understand that that is a silly thing to say, yet it is very apparent that she would like to bring this message to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. No, it's, I understand that. I do.
Yes, we know. Carry on.
Did
we throw you for a loop?
What's that? I'm sorry?
Did we throw you for a loop?
No, not at all. Not at all. That was wonderful. Thank you. I tell my clients before any reading, we always, you know, have a short moment of, are you still there?
Yes.
Hello? Okay. Before any reading, I always tell my clients that we do a centering, a grounding, short meditation, prayer, whatever you want to call it, to set that intention that what we do, what we're after, what we strive for is always for the greater good of all involved. And to get that confirmation back from you, Solomon, that, you know, that what I'm doing is for the greater good, that is so reaffirming to me, and that just means so much.
We like to reinforce to all of you that through the ability to be, let's say, quote unquote, selfish from time to time, if not all the time, you are in fact being the example of selflessness. Does this make sense?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Taking the time, the energy, the money required, the whatever it is that is required of you to allow oneself to have the opportunity to do that which brings them joy, regardless of how it may be looked by those around them, is in fact for the greater good of all involved. In relationship to family in particular, having the courage to come forth to your family and say, this is what I need to do for myself today for the betterment of our entire family, is something that many people have a difficult time doing. This is where you truly shine, in the sense that you have the ability to create that shift and change within others so that they can then go to their family, go to their friends, go to their employers, go to their whoever it is they need to go to say, this is what I need for me right now, and this is what I need for me today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day. This is the new me. Take it or leave it. And enabling others to tap into that self-empowerment, which then allows them to be a true representative of the conscious human community.
That is so reaffirming and reassuring. That tells me that, what my intention, what I've been striving for is, is actually happening. It's actually, coming to fruition. And that's as the teacher in me, I had a student ask me one time, do you consider yourself to be a successful teacher, a good teacher? And I said, well, the only way I can gauge my success as a teacher is by the success of my students. And so if I'm getting that across, that I'm doing what I came here to do. And that makes me feel so, so empowered, so much, that I can do. Now I can do even more because I know I'm in the right direction.
There is another element to this that we would like to encourage you to think about and ponder for a moment. The idea that when you are working with others, be it one-on-one or in a group setting, the ability to be able to move past those individuals the next day. In other words, not spending too much time wondering and thinking about whether or not you have made an impact. Focusing more on the knowing that you have on some level, regardless of whether or not they acknowledge it in the moment. This is where being a teacher really transcends the idea of being a human being. A teacher from a more spiritual level, a teacher from a more, let's say, eternal level, divine level. The not needing to know the outcome of each and every person that you have come into contact with. Does this make sense to you?
Absolutely. Having, being able to trust that I sent them off with the right information, with the, and not need to get that, the feedback that says, yes, you were right. It's learning to trust myself, learning to trust the information that's coming through me. That has been something I've been working on a lot over the last several years.
Yes, and we recognize this. We are merely here to encourage you to keep working on that because there is still quite a large aspect of your human self that requires that affirmation, that confirmation from others that you are, in fact, triggering what you would like to trigger. We feel that at this point in your experience as a human being, that you are now at a point where you do not need this anymore. You can really just move on to the next group of people, the next human being, without the requirement to receive the messages from those you've worked with that affirm what you are doing. We know that you know that what you are doing is planting a seed, is sprouting that seed, is allowing others to move in a more conscientious direction. You know this already. You do not need to have the confirmation from others around you. This is the message that we feel is most abundant for you in terms of moving forward in your profession, in terms of moving forward in your development as a teacher.
Got it. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. That really resonates. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. You are in turn also a student, as you know. And being aware of the lessons still to be not necessarily learned, because all of you already know these things. We are apprehensive to use these words. But being in a place of open receptiveness to your awareness of who you are will catapult you into a higher state of awareness of not only yourself, but of others, so that then you can have a clear, concise version of what it is that you would like to teach. simply by the representation of that which you were teaching.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there is still a certain degree of, let's say, doubt, but very minuscule. We don't mean this to be a negative conversation. We are simply bringing to you what we are reading from an energetic level. There is still a certain degree, even after all these years, a certain degree of need to know that you are making a difference. And we are here to tell you that you are making a difference. You do not need to know this anymore from a mind-based level of a human being. Simply go with what you are doing. Simply follow your intuitive notions that what you would choose to teach today is for the betterment of the whole. Simply know this from a heart-based centered as opposed to the brain telling you that you still need to feed the ego in a sense to enable you to then move on to the next client.
That makes so much sense. It resonates so profoundly. Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much. And again, what I'm striving to do is to take those doubts, those fears, and not use them as a shield to block what I want to do, but to use them as a means of, okay, of recognition of this is what I need to understand, this is what I need to embrace in order to move on, to move forward. Who knows, I may even get on a roller coaster with my wife. One of my big fears. But it's with this, and thank you, because that really opens me up to what I know I need to do next. Thank you.
Yes. We would like to portray one more message here from Marie. She seems to be quite focused on your health, on your circulation in particular. She would like to see you incorporate more exercise into your daily routine, more movement from the physical body sense. Does this make sense?
Okay, yeah.
She knows that this is not something that you would like to hear, yet she would like to see this for the improvement in your circulatory system.
Okay. I totally understand that.
Thank you. Oranges and movement. Oranges and movement.
Mm-hmm.
Oranges and movement. She is satisfied now with our relaying of her messages to you.
Awesome.
Okay. She has been talking to my wife.
Thank you so much, Solomon, for being here with us. It is always enormously impactful in our growth and expression.
It is our pleasure to come to you from this place of mutual understanding. It is our pleasure to come to you from a understanding of mutual love and respect for one another. We are working together as friends, as family, through this idea of life on Earth. We look forward to our next exchange.
Thank you, Solomon.
Thank you.
Wow. That was incredible, Frank.
That was very, very powerful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they really had a very strong message for you. I could feel the excitement in the room like explode when they were yeah, because right off the hop, they were like, you know, does this make sense? And I was like, yep. And they're like, no, we're here to speak to Frank.
Yeah, the last few days, several days, have really been, even my wife has said the same thing, you know, things are happening so fast, so much faster, they're so much more powerful, so much clearer. Directions and insights. Where I'm going is just it's as I said. I've already got two more books in the work now. I had looked at the next book, but now it's two more that are already writing themselves, that are already happening, that are part of everything that's going on within my life and outside of my life and connected with my life. And you were talking about, you know, the duality of the individual and the collective. And that my wife and I were talking about that as part of my meditation this morning, and that was exactly, you know, a conversation that we had. That we are, you know, we are individuals, but we're a collective at the same time. And that there's, as I said, I've got such important work coming up and coming ahead, and Solomon just has given such confirmation and affirmation to that. It's great. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was. I can just got a really good glimpse of your life and where you're going and what you're doing, and it's pretty nice to just hear that kind of reassurance, and it almost leaves me a little bit speechless, really.
It does. Like, it's powerful. It's really powerful energetically here, being in the room in particular, because I could really feel the dire need for them to express that to you, the deep desire for them to express that to you. So that's pretty cool.
Interesting. Several years ago, when I first coming out of the closet, if you will, I got to meet John Edward. And before I even introduced myself, he just looked at me and said, "Wow, you are so pure. You are, you know." And we got into this great conversation, but there was that immediate recognition and, again, affirmation of, "Yes, this is who you are." It's kind of a catalyst, if you will, for me to do more of that. And now from Solomon to really, you know, move toward what it is that I know. I've known I need to do this. I've known this for some time. And now it's accepting that, that knowledge, that knowing, and doing something with it and moving with it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And just really having faith in that, having trust and faith in that, and not needing anything more than that knowing, just being perfectly fine with that's all you need.
Right.
Well, that and oranges and more exercise.
Well, we're out of time, guys, for today. Aww. And so that was amazing. The powerful message of be selfish.
and that you're on the right track, Frank. Like,
yeah,
you're doing some really good work.
Thank you so much.
You know, I hope that at one point we're able to meet up and maybe meet in person.
I really do believe that we will. And this is part of the next step, which is I call the gathering. And the reason that I'm getting in contact with other sensitives like yourself, psychics, mediums, healers, is I'm putting together a network, if you will, here, a physical network, to really work on healing the whole world at one time. And it's going to be a huge, huge event, and it's coming very, very soon.
Yeah, that sounds exciting.
Well, yeah, we'd love to hear all about that is for sure. And if you'd like, we could post it here on site. Well, thank you again, Frank, and to all our listeners out there for being here with us today. Tune in 2 weeks from today, as we will have with us another amazing energy healer named Carolyn Coleridge. For those of you who would like to learn more about Stephanie and Solomon, please go to our website at stephanie-banks.com, and please subscribe to our YouTube channel at solomonlive.com. Thanks again, everyone, and have a fun-filled week.